Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. Are you following Catholic Sports Radio on social media yet? There are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There is a button for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And do please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. By the way, if you've been listening for the last, I don't know, month or so, if not longer, you might be wondering why I have been talking about the company that built the Catholic Sports Radio website, gosh, 2+ years ago. They're not a sponsor, and I did not talk about them in the past, but it's not unlike what I just asked you to do regarding this show, tell someone else. People are quick to complain on social media and or review sites, review apps these days. So isn't it nice to stop and tell people about when you have a good experience with a podcast or a business? Merchantside Marketing Group gave me a good experience in getting the website built for Catholic Sports Radio and keeping it going with updates or necessary maintenance. It does mean something to me that their owner is a Christian. And yes, as I've said before, I like that they are obviously proud of the website too, since they feature it in what they show to potential new customers. So if you or someone you know is looking for a new website, click the $99 a month ad on CatholicSportsRadio.net to find out about the various packages, not just that one, that Merchantside Marketing Group has available. And of course, let them know that you heard about them on this show and that you've seen the great work that they did for me. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. As last month came to a close, there was a frenzy of activity around the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Fans and media followed closely as teams made moves to try to improve, with an eye, of course, on better solidifying their chances of earning a spot in the postseason. Front offices spend countless hours looking at their organization and what can be done to give confidence to striving to be a competitive playoff team. But what about the players themselves, though? It can be an emotional time getting sent off to another city, another organization, and there needs to be a peace with where you're going to next. And instead of getting down feeling confident that I am an asset and I can go help this new team, we can liken it to the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, which says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Here I am,' I said, 'Send me.'" Friends, no matter where life takes us, which team, which city, which job, go forth to love and serve the Lord and one another. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has been the head coach of the women's softball team at LSU for 10 years, following a stint leading a national pro fast pitch team, having previously been in the same position at Florida International University. Prior to that, she had been the pitching coach and recruiting coordinator at the University of Houston. She had started into coaching as an assistant coach at Stetson University in 2000. As a student athlete, she had been a pitcher at the University of Florida. In her current role, she has established an active community service function within the softball program as the LSU players regularly visit hospitals and schools in the Baton Rouge area. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Beth Tarina.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We just heard there in the intro about some different locations that your softball career has taken you, both as a player and in coaching positions. And actually, you were even born somewhere that I didn't even mention. Share with the audience where that was, what your family size was in terms of siblings, and whether this was a Catholic household you were born into or not.
Well, definitely a Catholic household. I've been raised Catholic my whole life. I was born in Chicago Heights, Illinois. I didn't spend very much time there, but we do have a lot of family in that area. So always a place that's been close to my heart. And I'm an only child, and I won't accept any only child jokes at this point. I always tell everybody, I'm like, oh, that's the only child in me. I need that. So, but definitely was at church every Sunday with my family and my parents and my dad. You know, has been a big pillar of my faith and my religious upbringing.
We know from what I mentioned in the intro that you went to the University of Florida for college, but prior to that, what did your schooling look like in terms of any Catholic schools you might have attended, or if not, Catholic education that you might have gotten?
Yeah, I went to public school, so I spent a lot of time at the church on, you know, Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, and some of the youth groups. It had a big part of who I am. You know, we did some cool stuff. We went to World Youth Day and got to see the Pope, and you know, did some really cool stuff with those groups, and I really enjoyed my time there.
The World Youth Day, what city was that in?
It was in Colorado. Lord, it's been so long now, but it was in Colorado, and the Pope came, and we did the whole thing, and it was quite an experience. It was really cool. It was one of my favorite memories of my time. I think I was in the eighth grade, so it's been a long time, so don't ask me for the details, because they are long gone. There are three kids, and a lot of softball players have erased that from my brain, but I know I was there.
Last week on this show, Tyler Rosser, the head women's soccer coach at Ave Maria University, said that when he was young, an argument could have been made that he was actually better at baseball than soccer, even though he would go on to playing and working in soccer. Beth, in your case, was it always softball for you, or did you have another sport that you were quite active in as well, like Tyler Rosser?
I did play other sports, but softball was really my love, and a lot of it had to do with my dad's involvement in softball. He was a slow pitch player, men's player, and I would go watch the games growing up. And I actually started playing slow pitch softball in Florida, where we moved and where I grew up in the Orlando area. It was slow pitch until I got to high school. So I started doing that. And then in high school, I learned how to pitch, and kind of the rest is history. I played some other sports, but you know, I think I have more career fouls in basketball than I do points. So definitely should stick to softball. And that was my real love.
You were pitching for the University of Florida from 1997 to 2000. So right after softball had just made its debut in the Summer Olympics in 1996. Was that something that you were setting as a goal for yourself, meaning to try to get on the U.S. national team?
I think everybody loves being a part of it. You know, my assistant just finished up with the team in Tokyo. He got to coach them. So been a big fan of Olympic softball the whole time. It's really nice seeing our sport back in, and I hope we can get back in again. So it's such a cool thing for our women to have that goal. You know, we want to continue growing the sport at the professional level and the Olympic level. So it is a really cool goal. I don't know if it was ever on my list. I think I knew my strengths as a player, and they probably weren't they weren't that. But I think it's a really nice thing for our sport.
Well, but let's not overlook, audience, what Beth just said there, because especially those of you that are listening that are parents, and maybe your children are listening with you, it's important to have that perspective of where you are or where you aren't in athletics, and also just kind of look at life as a whole and not just athletics, as you know that I talk about so much on this show. So as much as it's kind of fun to say I knew where I was and it probably wasn't on the path to the national team, it's still important that Beth had that perspective, and I encourage all of you to pray about that, be actively involved with your children, and let them realize that sports are great, but we worship God and God alone. We don't worship sport. We hear lots and lots of stories on this show about what happens when a young lady or a young man goes off to college, especially those who go away to school, as it relates to their faith life, whether they keep attending Mass and stay devoted to prayer, or whether they fall away due to getting caught up in college life. Beth, what did all that look like for you as you got settled in as a student athlete at UF?
I was really lucky to get involved with the campus ministry there, both with FCA. There was a family that, you know, would have a Bible study on Sunday nights, and then the Catholic on-campus church at the University of Florida was just awesome. I developed a really good relationship with Father Tim, who was, you know, the priest there at the time, and just was really, really important, I think, for me to just continue and stay strong and continue to grow in some other ways. Of course, you see a ton of challenges, you know, when you're in college. And one thing I think is really cool here at LSU is, you know, when we go on the road, and this was kind of limited by COVID last year, but when we go on the road, we make sure on Sunday mornings, because, you know, our sport, we travel the whole weekend. We play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But Sunday morning, we always try to find a church in the city that we're in, and we open it up to whoever wants to come. And I'd love to take credit for this, but it's definitely a group effort. It's the Bailey Landrys that I know you've had on the show, and Alex Boulez, and some of these other strong women that would call me and say, Coach, what time is Mass? Coach, what time are we going? Coach, how are we getting there? Mm. You know, that have driven this. So I love seeing that in our college athletes, that they are driving their faith and they're, you know, continuing to grow their teammates and the people around them and just encouraging everyone to be involved. It's really something I have loved being a part of.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Audience, we are only halfway through and have already heard a lot of good insight from Beth, but I've certainly got a lot more I want to get to with her. But before I do that, I do have to ask you to pray for my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. We all know the power of prayer, and it really does mean a lot to me, not only that you listen and subscribe to the show, but to know that there are people out there praying for the work that I'm doing. This is not anything that I get paid for, although that works against me in that there are a lot of expenses that come with all the work that I do on and off the air by myself with no staff or team or volunteers helping out. Since I don't get any income from this and I don't have any sponsors, it means that I have to try to find a way to cover all the costs myself out of my own pocket. Thankfully, there have been listeners and even guests who have contributed financially to Catholic Sports Radio. Although I can say that for 2.5 years in, if this were a business, it would definitely be in the red, unfortunately. On lots of episodes of this show, I've detailed specific costs to help be transparent with what those expenses are that your contribution helps with. I ask that you pray about this ministry as part of your tithing. I trust that you're getting value out of listening to Catholic Sports Radio and that it's helping you and your faith life. I want to be obedient to the call that I felt from God to do this show and to try to move as many people as I can in their faith life. It's very simple and convenient to bless this show financially. You can utilize the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net, which is secure and allows you to contribute in whatever amount you wish. You put in whatever you're comfortable with. There are no minimums, and there's not even a drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. It's fast and easy when you utilize the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Alternatively, as some folks have done, you can instead get in touch with me through the contact section of CatholicSportsRadio.net to ask for the mailing address, and I will write you back with where you can send a check to. I will happily even say your name when you support the show with an online contribution or by sending a check. Or, of course, as some have asked me to do, you can choose to keep it anonymous. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. Do pray about it and consider a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio and helping me to continue on and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. Beth, you have been blessed to have been working in softball for 20 years now, right out of your college days into an assistant coaching job at Stetson University. When you're that age, are you just panicked about, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now that my days as a student are over? Or was there a lot of time spent in prayer seeking God's will for you, not to mention maybe knowing that you have your desires, but it's about, God, I want what you want for me?
Well, I have spent a lot of time in my life telling God the things that I want, and he just continues to kind of laugh and make a much better plan than I ever could have imagined. I think I'm one of his greatest comedians some days, you know, with the ideas that I've had and the way he has just blessed me in ways I couldn't even imagine. Mm. But when I got into coaching, I really had no intention to be a coach, honestly.
Wow.
I graduated with a degree in occupational therapy and I passed my boards, and I thought I would do that, and then an awesome man named Frank Griffin from Stetson University, who just retired, called me and said, hey, we need a pitching coach. And, you know, would you like to come do it for, you know, a little bit? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll do it for a little bit. And then 20 years later, I'm still sitting at the desk and teaching people how to throw rise balls.
Mm, amazing. Amazing. I love getting to talk to coaches, high school and college coaches in particular, because you're in that really important role where young student athletes have an opportunity to be ministered to and their lives shaped, meaning as men and women, not just in whatever sport they're playing. As you got into coaching, Beth, how did you form how you were going to be not only a softball coach, but say a life coach, so to speak, to the young ladies who would be on your teams over the years?
Well, I'll tell you, I think I'm still learning how to do this every day. It's not something that I think you ever master. But, you know, we worked really hard, especially here at LSU, to have some program standards that we live by. We call it Tigers for Life, and it's trust, integrity, grit, energy, relentless, and selfless. All of our players could tell you this and could define those and tell you what they mean. And I think I just try to live my life the same way I ask them to live it. I would never ask them to do something that I couldn't do myself. Well, maybe like run the shuttle in a certain time. I've passed my prime there. I can't do their conditioning test anymore. But I would never ask them to do something that I couldn't do myself. So I really just try to, you know, represent what the program standards need to be, or I want them to be on a daily basis, and hope that they can see the standards and see Jesus and all those things in me and how I live my life and how my family lives our life.
So on that note, and you mentioned this before, but way, way back on episode 17 of the show, my guest was Bailey Landry, who you coached at LSU. Is hearing a young lady going on to a life where God comes first, she's a devoted wife and mother, does that bring you the same kind of joy as seeing a student athlete get, say, their first college hit, or pitcher throw a no-hitter, those types of on-field accomplishments?
I mean, way more. Seeing them succeed in life is way more important. But, you know, and I'm getting emotional thinking about it. One of the coolest moments of my entire coaching career was at Bailey Landry's wedding. She gave communion herself to all of the guests in the wedding. And I just thought about all the days she and I had sat in Mass on the road, and how she had even helped me grow, you know, in my spiritual life. Just the other way around. It's supposed to be me helping her, but she had helped me so much. And I just really sat in the pew at her wedding and cried watching her do this for so many people. Something like that will always be one of my favorite memories in my entire life, not just in my coaching career.
Wow. Wow, that's beautiful. And, you know, I have heard coaches say on this show before, and for that matter, I think even youth ministers have said, I went on this mission trip, or I coached this team, and I think I learned more from those kids than they learned from me. And I'm sure you've probably seen lots of that throughout your coaching career too, yes?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. They grow us, and you have so many special women that, you know, we're supposed to be growing them, and in return they end up growing us all the time. And, you know, I think a big key to that is just letting your heart be open to it and being open to the growth and to the change. I think, you know, as soon as we figure out we don't know it all and there's so much more to it, you know, I think we're opening ourselves up for a lot of incredible growth in ways we can just serve so much better.
Well, and to that point, though, I will add, and I'm going to sound like a hypocrite here because I'm the one that's always preaching about that faith has to come first and sports and everything else is second. But Beth, I think you've probably even seen yourself. I know in all my years working in sports, I can remember one athlete in particular who, in a very acceptable way, was very vocal with the coach about strategies, about things that he thought should be going on in the game. And I think it showed that he did have kind of a vision for things, because he did eventually go on to become a pro head coach. And so I'm sure you yourself have had young ladies who have come to you and actually talk softball and not life lessons, where you've said, you know, I think that kind of makes sense. And so when we talk about learning from these young people, it could actually be the game itself and not just life.
Yeah, one of them is sitting right outside my door at her desk because I hired her on my staff because she was that good at softball. You know, Sandra Simmons was that player for me, where she had so many great ideas and things. And, you know, we'd watch her and I'm like, wow, I didn't even think about that, you know, and she was already out there doing it. So if you can't beat them, join them. So I just hired her on our staff, and now she's an incredible one too. She's working part-time for the FCA and works for us, and just another human being from our program that I'm just so proud of.
Yeah, and so for those listening that have or are young athletes, I think the lesson there is that if you have that healthy relationship with your coach, and obviously a level of respect that goes both ways, that it can be done in a constructive manner that can help all parties involved. And it doesn't have to be a criticism or a complaint. And you're hearing firsthand from Beth where that could lead to. Beth, I love that, as I mentioned back in the intro, you have established an active community service function within the softball program at LSU, with players regularly visiting hospitals, plus your own involvement in initiatives regarding ovarian cancer awareness. Can you talk about all of that?
Yeah, I'd love to. My mom is an ovarian cancer survivor, and so I got the job at LSU, and I thought, you know, how can we do something? So I put the team in teal jerseys, and I thought, well, at least these 20, you know, four girls will know the signs and symptoms, and we can try to protect them and, you know, start somewhere, right? So that's where we started, and we got one email from somebody in the community that had lost a friend to ovarian cancer, and all of a sudden the Go Teal Foundation was born, and you know, we've now raised hundreds of thousands of dollars, not just for the Baton Rouge community, but grants and research all over the country. We've done a lot of cool things. And you want to talk about something that's grown me. These women have truly been an inspiration for me and have really grown me. So I'll do a plug just like you. You can check us out at www.geauxteal.com. For those that aren't from Louisiana, that's how you spell go in Louisiana, G-E-A-U-X. GoTeal.com is our foundation, and yeah, we'd love to have anybody that is going through this, or you know, has this has touched their life, come and check us out and support them any way we can.
And audience, I want you to notice that although Beth did not mention, I did not set up that question, it's not necessarily a Catholic program, but you can see where having that Catholic foundation and the roots of your faith life will lead you to initiate programs like this. Because Beth, as proud as you are of that program, it sounds like your athletes are doing a lot more above and beyond everything that is being done that you just mentioned for ovarian cancer awareness.
Yeah, for sure. You know, one of our great athletes, Savannah Jaquish, is playing in the professional league, and I got an email last week saying that she's chosen Go Teal as her foundation that she's going to support, and she's actually going to be raising money for, you know, how she plays in the league will equal how much money Go Teal gets. So we all have to cheer for Savannah.
Wow.
And hope that she just does awesome in this league. But she's chosen to represent the foundation, which is really cool seeing them carry on this thing that we've started here. They've been a huge part of it. You know, they help make it happen. They do the work right along with us. So it's awesome having them involved.
Yeah, that's terrific. That's terrific. I really enjoy closing the show by asking the guest about their immediate family. I think it helps personalize these folks that I talk to every week so that we don't put people in athletics on a pedestal, as I've so often said, as a pillar of my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. Beth, share with the audience about your husband, how long you've been married, and the family that you and your husband are raising.
My husband, Nick, is just an incredible guy, and he's a big reason why I even get to do this job, because he is the ultimate team player and just really, you know, sacrifices for our family and makes it happen for us. And then we are raising three little girls, and I would say, you know, when I talk about God's plan, this is the one where he really had a different look than I did. We're raising three little girls. They're 8, 7, and about to turn 6. We were fortunate enough to adopt our first child and then immediately got pregnant. We had struggled with this for years. And all of a sudden, boom, we have this huge family that we had, you know, it had been such a frustration for me and something that had been so hard to deal with. And then all of a sudden, I figured it out. Our plan was we were supposed to adopt this awesome little girl. And, you know, that's really, to me, it kind of all made sense of why it happened the way it did. So they are 8, 7 and almost 6 and second grade and kindergarten and all over the place into everything. And we're just having the best time. And we just feel so fortunate to have this family that God has provided us.
And you and your husband have been married for how long now?
I knew you were going to ask me that. And I know I'm going to get it wrong. And I'm going to be in trouble. But I'm going to go with 11 years.
All right. Well, I won't challenge you on it. So there you go. 11 years. We will be in agreement on that. Beth, God bless you and your family. And thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, since we have a coach on the line, we will close this week with a prayer from the National Catholic Coaches Association. And of course, we will do so together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 2 Timothy chapter 4, endure hardship, fulfill your ministry. In the future, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness. Lord, help me remember you are always with me, especially during tough times in my life. Remind me that your trials are for my benefit and that you use time to build me up to make me stronger. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.